Welcome to this special edition of the The Generation Podcast, where we'll be broadcasting all the sermons and workshops from the 2019 The Generation Youth Summit. I'm Bobby Bosler, and this next workshop you're about to hear is one of 80-100 workshops delivered at the 2019 The Generation Youth Summit. Immediately after Dr. Jim preached his 0-100 sermon, which you need to hear if you haven't heard it yet, we had breakout workshop sessions where our workshop speakers sought to apply what 0-100 could look like in the various settings of teenagers' lives. In this session, Matthew Weber tries to cast a vision for what God can do in your school. Young people, school is a place where not only does God want to deliver you from evil, he wants to use you to turn that school upside down for Christ. Listen and find out how.
All right, so in John chapter number 14, right at the last verse of John chapter number 14, Jesus is talking to his disciples. This is what we call the upper room discourse. And in verse 31, he says, "But that the world may know that I love the Father," right? So his passion, Jesus's passion, was that the world would know, the people around him and his sphere of influence, they would know what? That he did what? Okay, you guys can talk to me. I'm sorry, this is not a traditional preaching session. If I sound like I'm looking for a question or an answer, you can respond. Go ahead and do that, and we'll enjoy ourselves here, okay? So what was he burdened the world would know? He loved his Father, okay? So he goes on and he says, "And as the Father hath as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do, arise, let us go hence." Okay, so his desire was that the world would know that he loved his Father. So how is the world going to know that he had this intimate, personal love relationship with his Father? What was his assessment there, that he was going to be able to distribute that knowledge to the world around him? What was he going to do? Okay, it's not complicated. Yeah, this is a group of homeschoolers. Oh, boy. We're in trouble. What was he going to do? The things his Father told him to do, right? "As the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence." Let's go and do those things, okay? So what we're talking about here all week long, our last several days, what's the point of it all? To just have a really good, fun time together? No. What's the point of the time that we're having together? That the world would know that we'd love God. Right? So that the world will get an image of Jesus and our love for him, right? Okay, good. So what's the hardest day in the Cola Clash Plus? What's the hardest day?
Traveling home.
Traveling home, so Saturday. Anyone else?
Today.
Today? Today is the hardest day, okay. Anyone else?
Thursday.
First day. So first day, the second day, the day home, the day, travel day, okay. Anyone else? Okay, my contention here is the hardest day of Cola Clash Plus is going to be Monday. Because everything that you made a decision about this week and all the things that you told God that you were going to trust him for become living reality. It's where the rubber meets the road, right? The Christian life is awfully hypothetical. It's very ethereal in the sense that it's a lot of it's cloud theology until it actually touches the road of life. So the decisions that you're all making and the dependencies that you're putting upon God, the issues that you're dealing with, all have really, in essence, are cloud theology until Monday when you go back to school. When you stand next to those classmates or you're standing in front of that teacher or you're looking at your different material there. So, you know, I read that verse in John 14 because his passion and Jesus's passion for you on Monday morning is that the world around you, wherever that world is, that they would know that you love God. And because of that love that you have for God, as you're coming out of this conference, this relationship that you're gendering, these decisions that you're making, you're going to go off into the world and you're going to do the things that Jesus and you're trusting Jesus for that he told you to do. Right? Isn't that the point? No? maybe? Okay, good. So let me ask you here for a second, what are some of the areas of our society that we as Christians have relinquished to the enemy? Help me out here. Talk to me a little bit. School. Out of the gate. Okay, so school systems, right? Where else? Do you guys not think hard about this stuff? I'm probably, yeah. The public square. Have you ever heard they're starting to get rid of the Ten Commandments out of the public buildings and all that stuff? They're getting rid of God. Is that okay? Is that okay with you guys that they're getting rid of God out of our public facilities? Okay, out of government. You can't pray. You can't do these things. You can't do stuff. You can't talk to people. You can't have any kind of Christian worldview in the world around us. We've given these things up. Why have we given these things up, you guys? Talk to me here for a second. Fear, okay. Anyone else?
Want to fit in.
Want to fit in. What else?
You don't care anymore.
Giving up? Okay.
Discouraged?
Anyone else? Yes.
Don't want to be judged.
Don't love God. 0-100. Right? This has happened because Christianity as a whole has given up on 0-100. And you guys have the great privilege of changing all of that. Do you guys see that? Do you guys catch that? That whether, you know, your school is a public school or a Christian school and whatever kind of Christian school or even a home school, you know, the kind of Monday you're going to have is going to very much be a reflection of whether or not you just believed what you just heard. Are you going to be the kind of people who are world changers? Are you going to arise and change the world? Anybody in here see themselves as a world changer? Anyone? You do? Well, that's good. At least one. You do. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? We got two. 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, it just took a little encouragement, and then all of a sudden there you're hiding amongst the stuff. Don't be Saul. You guys are all have an opportunity to do some really amazing things in your world. Okay, so most of the surrender that we view in society is because oftentimes we don't see things the way that God sees them. We don't see our life and the world that we live through the 0-100 concept, right? So now we've got that locked in. Did you guys catch that message there, the 0-100 message? Okay, who can sum it up for me in just a real short, because we don't have a lot of time. What does 0-100 mean? World changers? Say again?
Total surrender.
And?
Total
surrender, total dependence. So Monday morning, the victory of Monday is going to be total surrender to Jesus Christ and total dependence upon him to change your day on Monday. And if he can change Monday, can he change Tuesday? And how about Wednesday? And you think Thursday's pretty hard for Jesus? Thursdays are tough days, aren't they? Fridays are fun, though, aren't they?
Test day.
Test day. Our house is the same thing, right? I've got a daughter who's, she's 5. She struggles with life. And, you know, 5-year-olds have a lot of problems in life, you know, like, I don't know, kindergarten. That's tough stuff, you know. And anyway, she's got a lot of aspirations. She's actually pretty spiritually dynamic. She's 5, but she'll wake up in the morning, she'll have devotions on her own. I don't know many 5-year-olds that'll do that, but she does it. And lately she's been just struggling. You know, she's my 0 to 60, which means that she goes from 0 to 60 like that, about anything. You know, like when her hair's bothering her neck, she goes from 0 to 60, and that's usually a train wreck. And so what we did is we started praying every morning around 0-100. And all week this week, and I'm not even there. And I said, you know, Jenny, how's it going? She said, Daddy, Jesus has given me a wonderful day today. And now it's becoming a thing, like all week. Jesus gave her a wonderful day every day this week. And she's seeing some amazing victory. And she's in kindergarten, and she's a homeschooler. But you know, her having victory in her life, even in our homeschool, it changes our homeschool. You know, in our homeschool situation, and I don't know what yours is, but there's multiple children who are taking, you know, classes at the same time and in the same room. And some have headphones on and some have not headphones on. And anyway, and then there's other kids running around because there's nursery going on at the same time. And if one of us aren't living 0-100, all of us are suffering. Is that like it? Is that like that in your homeschool? No, okay. You guys are way too spiritual. Why are you guys even here? You don't need this. I'm just kidding. Okay, let me give you a few things here about how to view the world around you. And I think this will be helpful for us as we go into our 0-100 Monday. Should we call that? We should have that. 0-100 Monday. And we should pray that way. Let's have 0-100 Monday, okay? So let's talk about our Monday. Your Monday will be affected by how you view your classmates. And it will be dictated based on how you view your classmates. So if you walk into school 0-100 on Monday, you need to understand your classmates and how you see them and view them. If you got your Bible, we're going to turn to a few passages here. I'm going to do my best to kind of speed us through some of this stuff. But 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse 24 tells us Paul's teaching Timothy on how to view the people that he's ministering to. He wants them to understand his responsibility to these people, okay? Verse 24 says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive." Okay, so he's saying, listen, if you're a servant of the Lord, you're a person who's committed to 0-100. And if you're not to strive, you're not to fight, you're not to argue, but be gentle unto all men. Okay, that's a hard thing for Christians. Christians aren't genuinely gentle. We're passive in one sense and we're angry in the other. Okay, well, gentle is a tough thing. Apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that what? What do they do? What does oppose mean? Help me out here. What does oppose mean? Thought I heard somebody say something. To go against. Okay, you have two teams, right? Coke versus Pepsi. They're in opposition. They're fighting against themselves or against each other. And it says here that the servant of God, the one who's embraced 0-100, needs to understand that he's instructing or teaching or helping those who are doing what? Opposing themselves. Do you know a Christian trying to live the Christian life in the power of the flesh is opposing their own self? They're in opposition to themselves. They're burying themselves. You know, a lost person who's trying to get to heaven in their own strength is in opposition to his own life. He's fighting against himself. And when you get to school on Monday morning and you're looking out at your classmates, whether you're going to a public school or a Christian school or you're in a homeschool situation, you need to understand that anybody who's not living the 0-100 life, totally dependent upon God, totally trusting in him, they're in opposition to themselves. And you have a spiritual responsibility to them. What is that responsibility? Don't strive. Don't get angry. Don't argue. Be gentle to everyone, even the ones that you don't like. Anybody in here go to school with somebody that you really can't stand? That wasn't, look at that. Look at all those hands. Man, that's amazing. You have a spiritual responsibility to them. You have a spiritual responsibility to invest in their life, to invest in them for 0-100. And notice in verse 26 of that passage, it says, if God peradventure, instructing those, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. So this spiritual dynamic that's happening in the world around you as servants of the Lord, you have to understand that it's a spiritual dynamic fueled by the enemy. Listen, if you are not living 0-100, it is because the enemy has duped you into something different. If you're not seeing your classmates in that way, you're not seeing them biblically. Okay? And your effectiveness on Monday, the day when the rubber meets the road, the hardest day of Cola Clash Plus, if you're not living 0-100 on Monday, it is because you've chosen to give up on God and you have surrendered something in some way to the lie of the enemy. So when you walk into your class, when you walk into that classroom and you see your friends, and listen, they may be saved. They may not be saved. It doesn't matter who it is. You need to look at them through biblical eyes, and you need to see them as opposing their own life. And their desperate need of the hour is not your best argument or your spiritual fight with them. The best need for them is 0-100. Now, let's keep moving because I'm out of time. They will notice as you see their need for 0-100, you need to understand that you need to live that 0-100, right? What does that look like? What is 0-100 going to look like in the classroom on Monday? Help me out.
Walking with God.
Okay. Give me something more practical. What does it look like? Say again?
Paying attention.
Okay. Paying attention. Being an astute student, huh?
Don't fall asleep.
Don't fall asleep. Holy Spirit can keep you awake, can he? Okay. I am often reminded of Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 13. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men." Were they the smartest in their class? No. Did they have all their life put together? No. By the way, I graduated high school with a C minus average. I think that's like a 1.7 or something like that. That's horrifying to some people. I wasn't the smartest kid on the block. You know, I don't know what, I made it through 2 semesters of college Greek and I got a C. And you know what, that was awesome. Oh man, I love that C. That was the most beautiful C I've ever seen in my life. And I also got an A in Hebrew history. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. He helped me. You don't have to be the smartest kid in the class to walk with God. Do you want to know what? It says that they were unlearned and ignorant men. It says that they all marveled. Why? And they took knowledge of him. Why? Who knows why? They had been with God. They spent time with Jesus. We learn about Stephen, one of the first martyrs in Acts chapter number 7. What was so miraculous about him? They looked on his face and they saw the face of an angel. He had been with God. He had spent time with Jesus. These men, they weren't the greatest people in the world. They weren't academically correct. They didn't have all their stuff together, their ducks in a row. But what everybody knew about them when they walked into the classroom they were serious about God. They'd been with God. They went to the Cola Clash Plus and showed up on Monday, and it was obvious that God was with them. And when they looked around the classroom, they saw a bunch of people who could benefit from what they just benefited from. And they figured, this is a great place to let 0-100 out. This is a great place, instead of listening to my classmates use God's name in vain, you know, and that happens probably more in a Christian school than it does in a public school, it's time to step in and let the grace of God minister in that moment. Instruct them on why that's wrong. You know, God can do miracles in public schools, in Christian schools. I was fascinated by the depravity of Christian schools. I got saved out of the world, didn't have the privilege of growing up in a Christian home or going to a Christian school. We were down in Florida, and no disrespect to my Florida friends, but we were in a Christian school down there, and it wasn't Deltona, so but it was another one in the area over there. And Dr. Jim preached a message. I can't remember if it was the moral purity one, but it was something like that, something uncovering sin. And I thought, man, I can't believe he's preaching on this stuff in a Christian school. These kids don't have these kinds of problems. And he had the invitation, and I couldn't believe all the kids that came back. I thought, what are they going to talk about, you know? What are they going to say? They saw, you know, a picture on a Walmart billboard or something. Give me a break. And then I saw that kid, you know, sitting in the corner, and he was crying, and he was, like, heaving. snot flowing right out of his nose, it's coming out of his eyes, spit rolling out of his mouth. He was laboring. I thought, well, we'll just let him do that for a while because I don't want to get that all over my shoes. And then he told me what was going on. I thought, you are in huge trouble. He says, they don't know. They don't know. And I'm like, what do they not know? And, you know, in between the sobs and the snot and the crying and all that stuff, he says, they don't know. I go to my grandma's house every day after school, and my mom doesn't know. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Grandma doesn't know. She thinks I'm doing homework. I'm like, what are you talking about? I go in the room. I close the door. I lock the door, and nobody knows. I'm like, what don't they know? Every day after school, I'm watching porn on my grandma's computer. I thought, man, you are in huge trouble. And do you want to know why that's happening in a Christian school? It's because there's no 0-100 Christians there helping him. And he's not living 0-100. Do you know why our public schools are so godless? And I mean, you know, when I went to school, we had the jock kids over here, the gang kids over here, you know, the weird kids like me over here. You know, I mean, it's just, you had all these people all over the place, and they were all tribalized. They were like tribes, and, you know, certain cliques would hang out here and people here. And, you know, me and my buddies hung around in the bathroom because that's where we did drugs and smoked and did all that stuff. And that's, we hung out in the bathroom. And nobody goes in the bathroom. We go in the bathroom and nobody else comes in there. And, you know, and if anything were to happen, if somebody would come in and, you know, you just shut the door and turn the light off, and accidents happen to people when they walk in the bathroom. And you know why places get like that? It's because people that should have been Christians weren't living 0-100. And they didn't see their classmates as people who were in desperate need of 0-100. They didn't see themselves as, and their classmates as somebody who was literally opposing themselves, having been taken captive by the devil. That's why I say Monday morning is going to be a tough day for some of you. Because you're going to have to put on those spiritual goggles, and you're going to have to see some things that maybe you have never seen before. And I hope you see it like this. Here is somewhere Jesus wants to work. You know what? I'm so glad that somebody didn't look at me as a lost cause. I'm glad somebody looked at me as somebody who is worth fighting for and praying for and believing God for. You know, that was my sister. Somebody who is willing to be sensitive to the Spirit of God and call me up and give me the gospel. Are you guys ready to let people just pass on through? What can God do in your school? What can God do with somebody who's 0-100? You tell me. What can God do with somebody who's 0-100? Because your effectiveness will be at a waiting mission field. By the way, are you ready for this? You're missionaries. And you've got some pretty interesting mission fields to go back to. A school system that's completely godless, some of you, in the public school. And in the Christian school, you have a group of people who think, and sometimes in a godless fashion. You've got some interesting mission fields. I'm excited for you, and I'm glad the Bible says to go back to those places and preach the gospel to every creature. And some of you have some pretty interesting creatures in your schools. We had a youth group meeting at our church I was working at in the summertime, and I took kind of the Minutemen approach to our youth meetings, and we would do them on Wednesday nights. I was interning at my home church at the time, which is not Falls, it was another church in the area, and I said, hey, with my youth group kids, we had about 8 of them, I said, let's go out and recruit teens to come to our meeting on Wednesday nights. So we made flyers, I taught them how to use the flyers, and then we would go out and we would, on Mondays we would go out, and Wednesdays we'd have our meetings. So that meeting went from 8 kids, by the end of the summer we were in the upper 30s into the 40s. Filled up a whole room, it was great. It was like a whole section was filled like this with kids. You know, once we had a row, then we had the whole thing filled. And I'll never forget one of the girls that came, she was wearing all black. I remember the night she came, she was wearing all black, black everything, nails. I mean, everything about her was black, okay? She was dark, okay? And it was just, there was just nothing there. You'd look in her eyes and she was just not even there. The most interesting thing about her was the bobby pin that she wore through her mouth over both lips. It went through both of her lips so she wouldn't even talk. And she came, and I had the awesome privilege of preaching the gospel to her. And I can't remember, I'll be honest with you, I can't remember if she got saved. She did come back a few more times. But you know why she came? Because of the girls in our youth group. They were without really realizing what was going on, they were 0-100. And you know why that went from 8 kids to almost 40 kids, mid-40s, in a church that would never have ever seen anything like that? Total dependence, total surrender. I wonder, what can God do in your school? You guys know Craig Forrester? Craig knows some things that have happened. He's seen some stuff. You got anything you want to share with us, Craig?
We were traveling with Warren Special Forces. This tour traveled back today. We were at a school a month ago, and a number of the kids were here yesterday. They had to leave this morning. And I'm just going to read a testimony of a teenager. He's a senior in Christian school, and I asked him to share a testimony. He sent me this from what God has been doing in this school. Since the war, Special Forces came there, has been a genuine desire for God and a want to follow God's will. For each day, you can feel the presence of God in the halls, the classrooms, and in the hearts of each of the students. About 3 weeks ago, we started our prayer group from 7th to 12th grade on Tuesdays and Fridays. I'm currently working on getting small devotional books to start on after school for another Bible study. The Lord has been very good to this school, and now as we pursue our futures, I hope and pray that all of my friends and classmates have the same vision as I do for the school, and that they will be strong in the Lord and in the years to come.
Amen. That's a Christian school where they need a revival, and God came, and he's doing something. What do you think needs to happen in your school? Talk to me here for a second. If you're going to live out 0-100 on Monday, what needs to happen? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, what needs to happen? Let's talk practically. What needs to happen?
Boldness.
Say again?
Boldness.
Boldness. To do what?
Preach the gospel.
Okay, so there's going to be times where you're going to preach the gospel. In Christian schools, is everybody saved? No, not in every Christian school. So we're talking Christian school, we're talking public school. We're even talking the possibility of some of your homeschool situations where you may have a brother or sister or somebody who's not saved. So we need to have boldness to preach the gospel. What else? What were those kids doing? Yes. Yeah, we personally need to meet with God, right? How about a prayer meeting? Have you guys ever thought that maybe you guys could start a prayer meeting in your school? And maybe it starts with just you, but maybe you could ask others to join you and ask God to give you somebody else to pray with for your school. How about a weekly prayer meeting? You know, I hate to tell you what to do in your school because I don't want to do that, but let me tell you this. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "If you call upon me, I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know." And I want to encourage you, young people, if you want to see your school different and if you want to see this world different, then all you need to do is call upon God in total dependence and total surrender. And whether you go to a Christian school or a public school or a home school, it will change. But get ready. Monday's coming and you can't avoid it. And the question's going to be, is it going to be a 0-100 day? And if he can do it Monday, I guarantee you, he can do it Tuesday. Are you ready for Monday? I hope you are. All right, let's pray.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from the 2019 The Generation Youth Summit. If you were blessed by this sermon, don't forget to make plans to join hundreds of other young people next October for our annual meeting in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. For more information, please visit thegeneration.org/summit. And until next time, thanks for listening.